Well, hi there. This is a Sojourner talking to you from Tennessee, the United States of America. We want to welcome those of you who are here with us and those of you who are listening over the internet around the world, whether you're in Kenya, East Africa, or you're in Andhra Pradesh, India, or whether you're in Hong Kong or Singapore or London, England, or Bonn, Germany. Welcome to this time together. We're going to be talking this time about revelation understanding. And our scripture is Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Now, I'm going to go through this a little more than I usually do. I'm going to read this whole scripture area to you because there's some very significant things here that I want to hopefully get across during this time together. So, Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing on this time together. We ask you to give ears that can hear, and we ask you to inspire the words that I would speak, that they would be words on your behalf. You are welcome here. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 1 starts out, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world." It was the first census that was taken during the place while Quirinius was governor. "And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen them, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." Just as they had been told. A revelation had come through the angel, and then the angel singing. You see, or at least one of the greatest gifts, I think, that there is the gift of God revealing himself to believers and to non-believers. But there is a gift of revelation that comes to believers. Now, Matthew and Luke give a different story of the birth of Jesus in their Gospels. Mark and John do not, but they don't do that at all. They just pick up later in Jesus' life and ministry. Now, this is a very important thing here that I want you to grasp. You know, we have a very unfortunate thing sometimes in the body of Christ, and that is we think that we all have to see everything exactly identically the same way. Now, there are certain things that we've got to understand. There are certain things that we do have to agree on. But we have to be careful about how we come to those things. It's interesting to note that while Matthew was a tax collector, he made no reference to the census mentioned by Luke. And, of course, the census was so they could be taxed. So these differences in their approach are just that, different aspects of the same story, not discrepancies. There will be people try to weaken your faith by saying, oh, look, this is different than that, and this is... If it was going to be word for word the same, you'd only needed either John to write it, or Matthew to write it, or Luke to write it. God chose four to give us the Gospels. You see, there was divergence without disagreement in their stories. This is very important to grasp. So, Matthew simply unwraps some different packages of the story of our Savior's birth than Luke unwraps. But that doesn't mean they weren't there. They just each emphasized different things. Matthew tells of angels guiding the human participants in God's plan to bring into the world the Savior of mankind. You see, without divine guidance, mankind was considering not cooperating with the great redemption plan. Now, why do I say that? Well, you see, mankind here was Joseph. And Joseph was willing to put Mary away quietly because she was already expecting a child and they weren't married. Now, that's an understandable thing. But there again, revelation came to him through an angel and drew him back in to God's plan. Now, how many people today would say, oh, well, now that's just a story that they made up. You know, they're just trying to make it look like they weren't messing around before they were married. Now think about it. Isn't that just something that you could legitimately think that you might hear in the workplace, around the water fountain, or on the street, or someplace, in the line at the grocery store? Can you just hear the gossip going around? And so Joseph didn't want to make a big deal of it. He was just going to quietly do it. But God knew that Joseph was to be a part of his grand plan of salvation, that he was going to play a role in that plan. You may face times in your life where you are going to find that you have a role in God's great plan, and you may be reluctant to do it because you can't figure out how it's just right, how it's just scriptural, how it's going to work out. That's when you have to seek revelation from God and ask Him to back it up with His Word. And you will be amazed, my friends, at how He will do exactly that for you. If your heart is for Him and you draw near to Him, we have a promise. He will draw near to us. So now, Luke gives a secular history, a background. Or, at least, it may seem that way. Now, let me talk a little bit about that just for a second. Luke wrote, but after he had considered this, now he's talking about Joseph here, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm just going to touch on this quickly. In a few minutes, I'm going to cover this in depth. The name Joseph, one of the things that it means is increase. David means, the name David means well-beloved. And the name Mary means rebellion. Now, I'll come back and visit that here in just a few moments. So Luke gives a secular history background, or at least it may seem that way, as I said. Remember, God is able to use the just and the unjust alike to work out His plans. He's in charge. No matter how much other people may think they're in charge, God is always in charge. You know, get in your mind here a second what a scales look like, you know, where you sit something on one side and then you have the weights you put on the other side to find out what something weighs, and it teeter-totters back and forth. You know, a lot of people have that. They think that in their mind, they think that's the way it is with God and Satan. They think, well, some days Satan's up and God's down, and some days God's up and Satan's down. Well, let me tell you, Satan was a created being. God is not a created being. God is always, always, let me say it again, God is always in charge. So as I say, God's able to use anybody, the just or the unjust, to work out His plans. Thus, While what we get from Luke may be part of secular history, it is in fact a series of events being employed by God to bring about the unfolding of God's own plan for the redemption of mankind. God, my friends, had a plan. He hints at that plan and lays the groundwork for that plan in the book of Genesis, and it comes right through all of Scripture. And we're seeing that plan begin to unfold here to the point that, looking back on it, we can see how it fits in to all of the things that the writers had written up to that point. God is in these events bringing about the Christmas revelation of salvation. That baby in a manger, that everybody loves the baby in a manger. Everybody focuses on the baby in the manger, but remember, that baby came in that manger not just to be the Son of God on the cross, because he had a work to do there, but to show that that baby ends up being the one who triumphs over death and comes out of the tomb and brings redemption to all mankind. You have to keep the big picture in mind here. A lot of people want to do one of two things. They either never want to take Jesus out of the crib, or they never want to take him off the cross. Well, he came out of the crib, and he came off the cross, and he ascended alive and well into heaven. Very important details that sometimes people forget. Revelation, my friends, is a veil drawn back. It's something that is revealed, something that was hidden that is revealed, and it occurs when we look beyond the time-bound events to the spiritual, in other words, the eternal events that are not in time. They're without time. Eternity is without time. That's a hard thing to grasp because we know time. Now, the ancient Hebrews judged time. It's one of the reasons we get messed up on years and things of this sort. They judge time by the phases of the moon. And we keep time today by the revolutions of the earth around the sun and the revolutions of the earth from day to day. There's a little difference there. But in the things that are spiritual, there is no time. As a matter of fact, we are given time to be stewards of it. We are given time to show how we can gauge and use it in the building of God's kingdom and in submitting to Him, and therefore fulfilling His plan for and in our lives. So, time-bound events, you see, can be spiritual, but eternal events are spiritual because the spiritual is eternal. Now, the meanings of the names mentioned in the record in the Christmas story in Scripture are very important. You see, there is a very amazing truth revealed here in these names. So now let's talk about that for a little bit. This is the revelation. Man, in the spiritual sense, true reality. Remember, the spiritual sense is true reality, was separated by a wall of rebellion from God. Now, the Scripture talks about Quirinius. Quirinius was the governor, but Quirinius' name means the wall. So this man, whose name meant the wall, and it was so high, which is what Syria means, no one could scale it. Do you understand that there was a wall of separation between man and God so great that no man could scale that wall? No one could live up to the law and achieve the perfection necessary. Mankind, my friends, needed a Savior. Mankind needed Jesus the Christ. So, when Quirinius was the governor, when the wall was in charge there, and it was so high that no one could scale it, God therefore used mankind in the person of increase, Joseph. Because he wanted to increase the ability and restore the ability that man had to fulfill his plan. So that what? So that what could increase was grace. So that grace could abound to all mankind. So he brought increase out of separation. Now, where did Mary and Joseph come out of? They came out of Nazareth, did they not? Did not the scripture that we just read say that they came? It says, so Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee. So he went up out of separation, separated, which is what Nazareth means, to a place into God's circle. Galilee means circle. Are you seeing? Are you beginning to get the scripture always talks about what is in a name? You would be amazed, my friends, what's in a name. So, now then, man is coming into this circle of grace with God, the salvation of Jesus, which is what Jesus' name means, to a place of praise. The word Judah means praise. So they came to Bethlehem in Judah. A place of praise. This brought man to a place called the House of Bread. That's the meaning of the name of the word Bethlehem. And we, when we sit at the Lord's table, we talk about the bread being the body of Christ. And the sacrifice that he made on the cross for us. Now, where did he go? Where was Bethlehem? Well, it was also the town or city of the well-beloved. That place of the bread, of spiritual nourishment, was in the town of the beloved, David. Because increase, Joseph, belonged to the line of well-beloved. All mankind is loved by God. The scripture tells us that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believeth in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. That he came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So the town of the city of the well-beloved, through increase, this would be for grace, belonged to the line of the well-beloved. He went to register with who? He went to register. He was already registered, as a matter of fact, in the line of rebellion. And the name Mary means rebellion. Now, I cannot tell you how excited I was when the Lord first revealed this to me. Can you see the spiritual significance of the Savior of the world coming out of the physical body of a person whose name was rebellion? That the Savior came out of rebellion, and through that process brought salvation to all mankind. Why? Because he overcame rebellion. He never once in any way broke the law of God. But he came out of rebellion. Do you see the symbolisms here? Do you see how this story... It's a nice story, and all of us have heard it, certainly in what we would call the worlds or the countries that had a Christian foundation. We've heard this story over and over and over again. But I will tell you, after hearing this, this story will never be quite the same to you. When you realize that in the names of all these people is also the plan of God revealed. Amazing. Because when we hear from God, when things are revealed from God, they have a much greater meaning oftentimes than we ever really realize. That's the reason that the scripture tells us that God conceals a matter so that we can have the glory of having it revealed to us. What a revelation this is. I mean, a story that anybody who speaks English can easily understand. Okay, they told about this couple, and he wasn't sure if he wanted to marry her, and they had to take off from Nazareth, and they went up to Bethlehem, and the baby was born, and everybody knows that part of the story. But what about when you scrape back, you unveil the other truth that's hidden within that story. That's the glory of it, that he's allowed us to do that. If that, I mean, people say, well, you can't trust what's written in the Bible, you know, it's just written by men and this sort of thing. Let me ask you a question. How many people do you know that would have the intelligence and the ability to make sure the right guy was the governor, that the towns and the cities they came from would all have these various meanings to also back up this story for the salvation of mankind? Now there, my friend, is an understanding of a revelation. This is revelation understanding. This is the Christmas story. This is God communicating with mankind. Hallelujah. I have been so blessed by this story. I teach this once a year. And it seems like every year when I teach it, there's some one or two or three or four new people around that hear it and never heard it before. And I watch the light bulbs come on as they're hearing the story, and it's like, oh my, this is true. This is really it. So my friend, if you're listening somewhere around the world and you're hearing this by computer, you download this message and you listen to it over and over again. Get out your Bible, get out your dictionaries and your concordances, and check this out. Enjoy revelation understanding. God is so good to us. Jesus came so that we could all, each and every one of us, have an abundant life through him. That we would come to his Galilee, his circle of influence, his sphere of influence. And that we would be able to serve him and do for him. And in losing ourselves in him, find our life. Find the whole meaning of why we're here. Now, my friend, if you have never accepted Christ, you've heard this story, and now you go, oh my, this is more than a story. If you've never accepted Christ, won't you do that now? Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, that's right, go on. Heavenly Father, I come to you, and I believe now, I trust in Jesus. I believe that Jesus is my Lord, and I believe that Jesus is my Savior, and I give myself to him now, to be my Lord and Savior. I want to be in your kingdom, God, your kingdom of the blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, my friend, if you prayed that prayer with me, welcome to the family. You're now in that circle. You now have come out of rebellion. Now you want to remain that way. You want to remain in the Lord. I'm sure you'll want to learn so many things. So you do this. You find yourself some people who are really understanding of Bible revelation. People who live what they proclaim. If you have trouble doing that, just contact me. Obviously, if you're hearing this, you're on our website. Send me an email. You send me an email. TheSojourner@SojournersHub.org. Just send me an email. I'll help you. I'll get you information. I'll help you find a fellowship. If we can't find a fellowship near where you are, then we'll find a way to work that out. We'll not leave you alone. Why? Because the Savior will not leave you alone. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. You're in, my friend. Now, if you've been a believer, but you've really just kind of gotten lax, maybe you even prayed that prayer again, welcome back. The same holds true for you. You send me an email. You contact me. We'll be any help that we can be to you. We trust God. So now this is a sojourner. I'll give you my blessing, and that will be the conclusion of this time together. So I say the blessings of our Lord Jesus the Christ on you and all that is yours by blood, adoption, or assignment in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.